Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition.
Is there anything she can't handle? She looks fear in the face day after day, but yet she never runs. She's unbreakable. She's a warrior. She's you. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. These things happen because you have to live your true self in a bigger way.
Featuring the best of Maria Menounos' SiriusXM show with celebrity and life-changing interviews, thoughts on the week, and more. And it's free. All we ask is that you rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, and tell a friend to subscribe to SiriusXM. Listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos on SiriusXM Stars 109 at 1 p.m. East. And now here's your host, Maria Menounos.
Happy Friday, everybody. Coming in with an oldie but a goodie. I heard this on Sirius the other day. I think it was on either the 80s or the 90s channel. I don't remember, but I love this song. It always made me smile. Have you ever heard this song, Lauren?
I've heard it now that it's playing, but when you first brought it up, I had no idea what you're talking about. What I love about your music taste is it's so eclectic.
Uh-huh.
And you really like have a taste for all genres, all styles, all different types of artists, all different decades. It's really cool.
Thanks.
We got a flavor of that last week on the podcast with your playlist.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Of the world. Yeah, I can't hear the teacher.
Ooh, nice falsetto, Maria.
This is the best. Because I love your smile. It's such a good song. And it makes me smile and it makes me happy. And it's so, like, old now. And I don't know. I just wanted to start with that. Anyway, hope you guys are smiling wherever you are. Our quote of the day, if the problem can be solved, why worry? If the problem cannot be solved, worrying will do you no good. So that was from Buddha.
There you go.
It's a little complicated, right? If the problem can be solved, why worry? Which is true. If the problem cannot be solved, worrying will do you no good. But if the problem can't be solved, Buddha, like, of course I'm going to worry. Right?
I mean, he has a point, though. It's just, it's a very deeply, it's complicated.
Yeah, I think that was a little confusing for me.
Yeah, you know, it's basically saying worrying never does anything good, so just don't do it.
But it's true. You know, it's funny. A friend of mine was involved in a really, really scary situation where he could lose his, like, green card status, all based on a lie and just all this terrible stuff. And a lawsuit. And I said, okay, this has happened to me before. I said, and I was sick for almost 2.5 years, every day over it. I let it eat me up. I let it consume me. I was so stressed about it. And I suffered for 2.5 years. And you know what? In the end, I won. Justice prevailed. And listen, it doesn't always, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I remember giving him the advice. I said, listen, you have to go about your day-to-day life as if this is not happening, because you are going to bring yourself so much undue anxiety and illness, and living in that state is not going to do you any good. You're actually going to end up beating yourself down so much. You're going to make more poor decisions that are only going to contribute to your demise. I said, so just live every day in a good place mentally. This way you can actually think of solutions. You could think of other things that are on your side, proof, other arguments. I said, but if we just sit here and wallow in the why me, why did this person want to hurt me, then we're never going to come up with those solutions. And I said to this person, I said, I promise you, I will never let anything happen to you. Like, they will have to carry my body and tear it off of you. I'm not letting anything happen to you.
Aww.
So at some point, when it got down to the point where I realized, okay, this is getting really, really scary. And I had a gut feeling this wasn't going to, like, go down well with the current, like, lawyer situation. I was like, you know what? We need a big gun. And it's funny, if anybody out there is listening, you know, if you're in any kind of trouble and you really didn't do it, a friend of mine told me the difference between going to jail, getting deported, losing everything or whatever is always spending the money to hire a good lawyer. And I know we always don't have that. And I know we always want to, like, you know, it's just impossible. But that's when you have to ask friends for help. That's when you need to get a kitty together and say, guys, I'm in a lot of trouble. This is what's happening. Can you help me? And then you can pay everybody back slowly, and or you can pay them back in services and whatever it is. But you have to hire the best lawyer. That is the difference between innocent people going away and, you know, having horrible things happen to them. So I put my superwoman cape on, found the best lawyer, and literally within 3 days it was over and gone.
Wow.
And I was like bawling for joy, like so happy. And because this person didn't do any of this stuff and just didn't deserve any of this to happen to them. And I don't know where I got on that track just now, but there was a reason I started here.
We're talking about worrying.
Yes. Yes. So now, had this person worried, now I had to be the psychologist every day. Had this person spent all of this time, at least 6 months, worrying, they would have never been able to move forward and had good things coming. So now, you know, this person was, you know, treading carefully and having a little difficulties in like some moments, but I kept saying, stay positive, stay positive. I just knew, I'm like, you're too good of a person for something this bad to happen. Like something might happen and it's because you need to learn some lessons. Like not everyone is going to have your back. Not everyone is going to do kind things to you. You have to learn that you have to kind of protect yourself a little bit and you have to be careful and be wary. But I just kept saying, I'm like, unless God has another plan for you that we don't know, and we have to be open to that, I think you're going to be okay. And so luckily it all worked out anyway, but worrying really does not get you anywhere but the hospital. So I leave you with that. In the meantime, I know Valentine's Day was this week. I hope you all had a great Valentine's Day. Guess who got roses?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you heard me on the radio show this week. I was like, Kevin gave me a single rose like 20 years ago when we first got together, and I still have it, and I really haven't gotten any since. And we had agreed that this was like, you know, a made-up Hallmark holiday, and I've always been of the mindset that I didn't want to put too much stock in it, and real holidays as well, because holidays about love and being together and all of that. But I did tell him about a journal entry that I remember, like, that next year when I didn't get anything, I was so sad, but I was like 22 or no, 20 or 21 at that point. And it must've hit him hard, 'cause he brought me 3 dozen roses.
3 dozen. Wow. It's like
every color.
Every color?
Pink, white, and red.
Wow. I think he's really hell-bent on being a good husband to Maria. Like, he's very into it. He's like, I got to get back to my wife.
Yes, I love it. Yeah,
so I think that that was a big part of him wanting to get you the roses, too. It wasn't just your diary entry. It was the fact that he's really honored to be your husband.
He really is. Mm. It's so sweet. I really just, like, I love him so much. And, like, talk about Superman cape. He's got his on full time. And, he's just an incredible human being. Like, I'm so lucky to have him by my side. And it's a special time.
It is.
My husband and I.
You had a party yesterday too, right?
I did. Yeah, we had some friends over. Most of the time we've had parties on Valentine's Day for our friends, because we have a lot of single friends, and everyone had so much fun. I didn't know if this crew was going to be a good mix. And I was kind of regretting it last minute, because I was like, oh gosh, I'm so tired and I really just want to be with Kevin. And why did I do this? And then everyone started coming together and it was so much fun. And we just had the best time. It was just like perfect.
Aww.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It is always like kind of a nerve-wracking feeling when you're combining lots of different groups of friends and you don't know. It's like a big experiment. You just step back and you hope, but that's great that it worked out.
Yeah, but there were no bad eggs or no, like, you know, sometimes there's some, like, you know, some medium eggs.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Soft boiled.
But like, you know, some snobby-ish eggs. And I really think that God is helping me weed out some of that, I guess. Everybody was just like so fun, and it was really nice. And I love entertaining. It's so much fun. But we had Love Week this week on Sirius XM. And if you're just joining us here on the Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition, this is a free weekly podcast that we put on for you guys. And all we ask, because we do work hard on it, is that you rate, subscribe, comment, tell us how we're doing. I love reading the reviews. They make me cry. And we hope that you love this podcast enough that you'll want to Maybe join us over at SiriusXM every single day, 10 a.m. Pacific time every day. We have a lot of fun. You can also find us on the SiriusXM app on demand. So, yeah, that's that. We love doing the show, and we love hearing from you guys. First up, you're going to hear Patty Stanger's top tips for dating safely and effectively online. Who better to talk to than Patty Stanger, millionaire matchmaker, plus a shocking confession about her dating past.
It's Love Week on Conversations with Maria Menounos. From psychics and astrologers to dating horror stories to matchmakers, we have you covered. Now tune in, open your heart, and get ready to love.
Guys, the quote of the day from the great Julia Child: the secret of a happy marriage is finding the right person. You know they're right if you love to be with them all the time. Oh my God, that's me and Kevin. Okay, our next guest is an author, businesswoman, reality TV personality, best known as the Millionaire Matchmaker. Today she's here to share her top dating and matchmaking tips. Please welcome my friend Patty Stanger.
Yay. Hi guys.
Hi.
Before we begin, can I give a big shout out to your biggest fan?
Yes.
So April, my friend who owns L&A Leggings, you guys, they're going to send you gifts.
Okay.
She listens to every morning. Yesterday she texted me. She goes, "You're going to be on Maria's show. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God." She listens to every day.
Oh,
so shout out to April in the boo.
Thanks, April. Yeah. That's so cool. I always love hearing like people's feedback on the show. It's so fun.
And she's a cool girl. Cool single girl. We need to get her hooked up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She just had a breakup. So I'm working on her.
Okay.
Right now.
Yeah. I love it. You're single now too, right?
Yeah, I'm single too. I'm on the apps.
So how do you help yourself?
This is like, okay, by the way.
That's probably the hardest thing ever, right?
I don't know if it's it's kind of my age. I'm older now and I'm wiser. So as you age and you get single, like if you've been divorced or widowed and you're in your 50s or late 40s, you can spot it. And then you go, yes, no, yes, no. And there's no like, I'll try 2-3 dates. I'll let it grow. We don't have any time. So I know right away. And it sucks because I'm a matchmaker and I can figure it out in 6 seconds. It's awful. So now I'm like, where's the guy? Like I'm ready
to go. Maybe you got to go to a girl, Patty.
I'm thinking of dating in San Francisco.
Really?
And I've done the girl thing. It didn't work either.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. When I was
I
did the girl thing like right out of college.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
For 3 years, it was awful. But I can't say what I really like on the air because we're clean here, right?
You can talk whatever you want.
Honey, I like cock, not cooch. Yeah. No cooch for me. I like cock.
But you tried it.
Yeah, I tried it.
Good for you.
Well,
that's interesting.
They touched me. I didn't really touch them. So it was more like
you were getting all the enjoyment.
I was breaking up with my boyfriend and he was really hurting me. It was a spring day. I worked for this crazy psychic who was bisexual and she knew that I hadn't had an orgasm. Like I must have been 24 with a guy, like only myself. And she pulled the skirt up and she went down and she popped me and I go, "What the fuck is that?"
No.
She made me believe I was gay for 3 years and it was a terrible time. My parents were divorced. They weren't in the city to help me. And so for 3 years, like I must have been 25 or something.
No.
Yeah, true story.
Wait, at work she did this?
Yes.
She popped your skirt up and then went down on
you? She was so famous. Johnny Carson, Amon, Diane Lane, all these famous people would come to get read by her. And I was the assistant.
And then she roped you
and
in.
And she was bisexual. She had a husband. She taught me how to give a blowjob. Oh, this is such a... I can't believe I'm telling this story.
I'm dying. Okay, this is so amazing.
I was good at blowjobs, but I knew there was like another signature move I can get. She took her husband's pants down and she did it like clinically.
In front of you?
Yes, and she showed me how to give a blowjob.
Wait, what's the secret?
Well, she would show me like there's like, you know, there's all these different themes. Like she had Broadway night. It was like one is angry blowjob. And
what?
One is like lazy blowjob when you're watching TV. And like then there's the squidgy and how to like push the button on the bottom of the scrotum to make him pop. Like she gave me all these tricks. I became a little trickster with that.
Wait, are these on YouTube?
I don't know. Maybe I should do. But like the one thing every boyfriend does is
it's Valentine's Day almost. We need to know.
When I was breaking up with all my boyfriends, like, but I know we're gonna break up. Can I still get one blowjob? Like that would always
no.
be my thing. Yeah, and I'd be like, yeah, okay. So
wow.
Yeah, so it's true.
So you gained something. You learned that you're not a lesbian.
It was ghostier and she cut my hair like a butch. And I was like, I don't like myself. And my mother came to town and she's like, "You are not gay." She goes, "I'll teach you a trick to tell you how you're gay. Close your eyes." And I had a crush on a movie star. I think it was Viggo Mortensen at the time. And she goes, "Close your eyes. What do you see?" I said, "Cock." She goes, "You are not gay."
Stop it. This is your mom.
Yeah, my mom, she's like, now tell her you're not gay and leave her. Yeah.
Do you think because you're a Gemini, she confused you and your duality got like a little messed up?
I was getting hurt by men emotionally and I was picking on, I'm adopted. So I was picking unavailable men. I was working on my adoption issues in therapy and she made me go like, women are sweeter, women are nicer. And I always thought beautiful models were beautiful, but I just didn't fantasize about them sexually. And it's funny because when I watch female porn, before I watch male porn, and like when it's the precursor and the girls are in, let's say they're doing an orgy scene.
Yeah.
FYI, I like porn. But they're doing an orgy scene and the girls come out first and then the guys come second. I fast forward because I don't even like watching two girls get it off.
Wow.
But I mean, I love my lesbians and the community. I just don't want to be one.
It doesn't get you
off. I don't want to be one. I don't want to be one.
Wow. Yeah. I never, ever,
True
ever
story.
Would have expected
True
that.
Story.
That's such a great, like,
I mean,
left
I was
turn.
25. What did I freaking know?
Okay, so girls are out of the question. We got to find a guy.
Yeah. And
but
so,
now, are you looking for someone younger or older?
Well, I usually date, like, 8 to 10 years younger, but I'm okay with older now.
Okay.
I went to New York. Men are very different. There's 5 women and 1 guy, but the men are men, and they're older. They're just not in shape. It's like you get the fat, Weinstein effect with money.
Oh my God.
Okay. But they're not like fat and frumpy, but you get hot and poor in LA. And I'm trying to find the fusion. So I found it. I think it's Silicon Valley in San Francisco.
Didn't you just open up a millionaire match?
Yeah, we just opened up our office in San Francisco. And it's the investment banker community, like the VCs, the hedgers. They're all really tall and good looking. They don't have glamorous girls. They have these granola muncher girls. When you go up, you're a 7 on a scale from 1 to 10. You're a movie star. You're
no
a freak.
No way.
Makeup and you're a movie star. So my friends that live up
there. Wait, that's where we have to take Alyssa too then.
Yeah. We got to take Alyssa there. So my best friend lives there. And then my assistant and my VP live there. So they were like fixing me up. So I have my first date with an SFer next Tuesday. I think next Tuesday. And so one of the things I noticed is that they're athletic. And I like divorced guys who have kids or the kids are grown. Like, I like to know that you've been married once at my
really?
Age. Because the guys that are 50 that have never been married, a lot of them in LA.
There's
something wrong with...
They're just playboys for life.
It's not even playboys. It's like you're never good enough for them. Like, there's still bigger, better dealing and they're going to end up in the nursing home unless they wake up like George Clooney, which they... George Clooney got married in his 50s. People said, oh, he'd never get married. And I kind of said... No, he's going to find a girl that tells him no. And Amal told him no 3 times before they went out because she was in trial. And he invited her to listen to Abbey Road, the musical. And he said, look, we're doing this Beatles thing. You got to come. And she's like, dude, I gotta work. And so to say it to George Clooney, he's like, what do you mean? Nobody turns
him
down.
No one turns him down.
It freaked him out. And he had this like, she's human rights. I'm in the sedan. Like, all these things fused together because she wasn't, like, jumping through him. And she was like, I love myself first. And if you like me, you're going to conform to what I want. She got him to have babies. I mean, it's very unusual that happens in your 50s. He's very evolved to do it, by the way.
Yeah.
And I guess you know when you know. When it's right, it's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. So true. So
San Fran and London.
And
those
London.
Are the London loves.
But you don't want to meet someone in London. You don't want to live there. It's so depressing.
I don't want to be a Meghan Markle just yet, but I do would like to maybe have a bi-coastal
just
experience.
Just spit out my coffee through my nose.
I like a bi-coastal experience because if you never see sun, I think I'd freak being a Californian.
Yeah, no, it would not work.
And so, but
you're a Gemini. You would be miserable.
I'd be miserable.
Yeah.
But the men are super handsome, and so are the Scandinavian men. I get these Swedish guys on Tinder. I'm like, you're 500 million miles away. Like, why are you picking me in LA? So
how is it like I find it like after like when you're in your like late 30s and on, it's
right.
harder and harder to meet
it's
guys.
It's so hard right
because
now.
I feel like all the guys want young. Mm-hmm. And then if they see someone who's a little older, it's like, it's just such a hard thing.
Well, I lied on my profile, so sorry. I'm not going to tell you what my real age, but all the men lie too. So you're going to look at men and go, there's no way he's 45. He's 50. Like you just know. And we all kind of know. But I think once you get on the date and the chemistry happens,
doesn't matter.
If he's an ageist, he's an immaturist,
is
what I feel. Because if chemistry is there and things line up, you like to do things together, you got a lot in common, he has to grow the fuck up at some point.
Yeah.
10 up, 10 down, that's all is the bar. You go past 10, when I see the guys with the 20-year-olds, I go, good luck to you when she's pushing around, in the wheelchair. and she's counting your money and looking at the pool boy. You got to realize someone's going to get a karmic payoff for that, even if you go that young. And if you're that immature, you know, I want to grow gracefully with someone.
Yeah.
You know, women live 10 years longer than men. So the rule is you can date 10 years younger because you'll die at the same time. Mm-hmm. So there is that rumor that I gracefully grow older. We look better. We're Botoxing it. We're wrestling it. We're doing Juvederm. We're doing all these things to our faces where we don't have to get faceless. And they still like, you know, crusty crows there. You know, that's what's happening to them.
It's so scary, the whole dating world.
It's terrible. Well, you don't have to ever. You and Kevin have been forever. So, like, what do you, and you have a friend now.
I have so single. Many friends that I watch that are single, but like my best friend, that's why I want to do a show with you.
Are we talking about Rachel? I'm going to talk about Rachel because I just saw her the other day.
Oh, well, Rachel's like.
I know who she's dating. I saw her at Bumble. Hey, Rach.
Yes.
I'm not going to out you. Don't worry. Okay.
But like, I just think it's so hard for people, especially like my friend Alyssa is going to be an interesting project. She's a little bit of a weirdo. She's just different.
Different how?
Like, hasn't had a lot of like relationships, but like is very shy, but she's like, she'd be the best mom. She's raised like 30 or 40 kids in her life. She's like babysat and
now is she dating online?
No. Okay. Nothing.
So dating online is only 20% of your search. Okay. Yeah. So think about it. 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, five times, right? 20% of your search. And the reason is that you're meeting people you would never more normally meet.
Yeah.
You can actually pick, like you're shopping, you know, on Amazon. And Bumble has changed the game by women make the first move. Mm-hmm. I think Whitney, who owns Bumble, is a fucking genius. There's just a little bit of a problem where the men are a little passive aggressive, and we have it has changed the rules that men are now okay with women making the first move, sexually going on a date. But then I always wonder what's going to happen in the relationship. Are women going to be doing everything and they become the alpha and the male becomes, you know, the beta? I don't know. I've heard a lot of stories. It's working both ways. And the rules are, there are no rules. The phone has changed, no rules. Now, Tinder moves really fast.
Why is Tinder different than
because
Bumble?
Tinder was known as the hookup. And the original one was Plenty of Fish, who I actually worked for and I met my ex-boyfriend on. So they were the original swipe right, swipe left. Marcus invented this little kind of app. Match.com bought it. The kids at Silicon were like, let's not have a profile. Let's put a picture up, like Mark Zuckerberg 101, like Facebook, and let's just pick each other. But they forgot the information, like, are you divorced? How tall are you? So it's a long, exhausting process to vet them. You see a picture, you go, so I have a process. So the first thing I say to them is, where do you live? Now, the reason I say, where do you live is, if they say 8 miles away, they could be visiting. If they say LAX, they don't live here. Yeah. So you have to be very careful because you could be talking to someone in Sweden and you don't know and he's visiting for 2 days. Ooh. And everybody comes to California.
Yeah, and then they're just a hookup.
Right. And then I say, what do you do? And sometimes the poor guys get angry. Like, why? Is that all I am is my job to you? Like,
wait, the rich guys don't react like that?
No, rich guys go, oh, well, I own 6 businesses and I'm a corporator. I'm retired. I'm this. And so the middle guys are like, you know, I'm a sound engineer. You know, I'm a director because Hollywood runs this town. And then after that, you'll get into a few, like, what do you like to do on the weekends? What are your interests? And then this is where I stop. If I like the guy, this is how you're gonna know if he's a guy for you. You go, I'm not really a great texter. Here's my number. I'd rather chat on the phone. Now, some people on Tinder do not want to talk on the phone and they want to go right to the date.
I feel like most people don't want to talk on
now
the phone.
No, they'll go, but on Tinder, they'll go, like, what do you, can I, let me take you to drinks Tuesday night. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I have to, you know, hear your voice. And the reason is women biologically fall in love between their ears. So if you hear a feminine voice or a voice or a voice that's not, you know, seductive to you, you will not go anywhere with that person.
Interesting.
So you must listen to the voice. It's not like you don't trust that he's asking you out. It's more like, I'm going to know when I know on the phone because I'm going to get an intuition, a woman's intuition, whether or not, you know, pass go.
Wow. And
so you have to listen to his voice.
Wow.
And that's the vetting process. And then you'll get on the phone. You go, like, where do you live? Are you divorced? Sometimes I'll ask, are you divorced? Because he'll have a picture of a kid in the picture.
What if they lie about a lot of big things in the beginning and they're like, well, I just wanted you to fall in love with me. And I didn't want you to know about my kids and the fact that I'm a whole other, you know, race and that I'm 500 pounds more. Like if they completely.
It's a risk. But 90% of the time, they're not. Their pictures could be younger. They do this thing.
There's four
pictures. The best picture is when they're younger. Yeah. Then it starts getting worse, worse, worse. And then he's fat. Skinny fat, skinny fat. And then you're going delete. So you got to make sure the pictures are consistent. Some guys are very visual and they say, look, the pictures were just 3 months ago. I made them. The men's pictures are horrible. 99% of them look like mugshots. Women look amazing. They look awful. We're better at the selfie. Thank
you. We get it.
Thank you, Kim Kardashian. Yep. We can actually use your experience of selfies on dating. But the men need work.
Yeah.
And they have to. And so I'm hang gliding. I'm spear fishing. I'm, you know, surfing. And I'm like, dude, I don't give a shit about that. I want to know who are you? Mm. And they don't do that. Basic straight on shots, smiling in a pair of jeans, you know, current day outside. Let's leave it alone. If you got that ripped a body, put the bathing suit on at the beach. But I mean, like, we don't need more than that.
So, okay, so I get all that. I just popped it back into my head again that you're looking for someone.
Right.
And I'm thinking, if I'm a guy and I see Patty Stanger on Bumble.
I knew you were going to say this.
I'm going to be so intimidated, right? Like, do you find that guys are intimidated to date you?
No, there are like two kinds. There's the one... my favorite, the ESPN guy. So shout out to ESPN. Please bring me all your coaches, all your newscasters, all the people that work there.
Note that she's not saying all your athletes,
okay,
right?
Athletes.
No, you didn't say athletes,
but I was going to ask you,
athletes and musicians ever be
yes. When they get older and they open businesses.
Yes.
Okay.
So you got to wait till they get past the like.
And the reason is
city to city girl thing.
And the reason is they don't watch Bravo, so they don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. Then there are the Bravo people that go, "Oh my God, you're the Millionaire Matchmaker. Are you looking for yourselves for your recruiting?" So Sean invited me to go on Tinder. I did a CNN thing. He owned Tinder.
And who's Sean?
Sean is the owner of Tinder.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then Whitney owns Bumble. And she and I had texted when she first started, and I went on there. She's like, I'd love you to go on. So I went on the two apps.
Do they pay you to do this?
No.
Because you're like giving them a huge ad by doing it in a way.
No.
I have points in your company? I'm going to blow your shit up.
We just have a pop-up shop. Bumble has a pop-up shop on Melrose right now. You can go she opened Bumble Biz, which is like business partners matchmaking, and you can go to Bumble on Melrose, have drinks with your best friend who represents Casamigos, and at 5:00. So if you guys want to check it out, it's on Melrose, and you can go down the Bumble app to check it. And that's a free advertisement. I don't get paid. I just think it's a great thing that they did, and I think it was amazing. My hat's off to her. But I've tried The Leak. I'm about to try Raya.
Raya's the one for
I just got a
code. I'm surprised you haven't done that one already.
I didn't get a code, so I just got a code. But I also know I actually have the number of the owner. I got a code. So Raya, I'm going to try you, and I'm really excited because I would like to travel and maybe meet someone somewhere else. And I've heard really good things about your app, and I'm super excited. The League needs a lot of work.
I've never heard of
The League. The League is awful. Although Terry Hatcher's on The League.
Oh,
and
really?
Terry, you can call me and I'll fix you up. But you're going out with my friend Lance, and he's a really great guy next week, FYI.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're going out next week, Lance. And he said, do you believe Terry Hatcher? And I said, you need to go out with her now. She's awesome. So like they made a little shidduck on the app. So The League is like you get 4 matches a day. They've been awful, mine. Please, Mr. League, I only like them 6'1 and up, and I like them a certain age. You're sending me people that I would never be attracted to. My best friend in San Francisco is like going, I hate The League because they're all ugly and da-da-da-da. But obviously it's good for men. And then there's like little ones, like, you know, Match.com's still cranking, although I got kicked off last week.
Why?
I met a
Match.com kicked you off?
And I was paying for it too, and they kicked me up. So Peter, I met this guy. I know this guy, Peter, who's a psychologist, and he asked me to go out. And I said, I'm not really interested in you, and I know your brother. And he said, will you call me? So I called him, and he asked to join my service, and he wanted it free. And I said, look, I'm not going apps to steal people's people. I said, if you want to join the service, then you contact my assistant. And he goes, no, I think because you know me, you should give me free girls. And I go, no. And the next day I got kicked off. So he must have reported me or something.
Wait, but that doesn't make sense. What did you do wrong?
I didn't do anything wrong, but he was angry that I wouldn't give him free girls. So he's like, I'm going to get you off the app. So they call the police and they say, this person has been sexual. This person has tried to solicit business. And I didn't do anything wrong, Match.com, because I was always nice to you and I actually worked for you. So screw you.
Whoa.
But I'm on Bumble, Tinder, and I'm going to go on Raya, so I don't need you.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's other ones. There's like weird ones like Hinge and Happen, but they suck in LA. They're better in New York. Hinge and Happen need a lot of work.
So here's my thing. Like, I feel like whatever city I go to, mm-hmm. girls are always like, ugh. there are no guys here. I need to get out of
New York.
That's
correct.
I need to get out of LA.
Because
I need to get out of San Fran.
Because they max out the potentials. So figure it this way. I was in Miami for 100 years. I went to college down there. It was the best city for sex. I had the best sex I ever had in Miami. And I had the best time. Then the market crashed in Miami where all the Latins took over all the businesses. And if you didn't speak Spanish, you didn't get a job. So I had to leave. But then my mother said, well, you want to really get into the film industry. You went to college for it. So this is your moment. 38 years old, I left. And it was getting small. Like, you went to the same place on Thursday night, whether you lived in South Miami or North Miami. You went to the same place on Saturday night, and you maxed out your potential because it was so small. The height of South Beach was happening then with me. Now it's 50 times bigger. So there's a lot more transients. You also got Argentinians and Colombians and Brazilians who didn't live in LA, Miami for very long. And so you didn't have a long-term connection. So mm-hmm. you max out your potential. New York, there's not a lot of men.
How? It's such a massive city.
When I was living there in the 80s, and I grew up there, it was 50% men and 50% women. I don't know if Wall Street changed the game. I don't know why they moved out. But I had a theory that in the 90s, when we were making a lot of money, you know, especially during Clinton administration, men moved to the suburbs because they could buy a homestead.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then they would date in the city, you know, go in the city or buy Hampton's house. And then but their main residence was outside the city, Jersey, Connecticut, upstate. And the women became zip code snobs. They said, if I live in Meatpacking, I'm not dating Upper East Side. If I live in Soho, why should I date Upper West Side? And it became to the point like,
what is that?
That's retarded. So we are kind of like that in California. We won't date Downey, Long Beach, maybe San Diego or OC.
Actually, that's true.
We say, you're right. We say an OC guy will never get on the 405 on a Friday. And we go, screw this. And then there's the Thousand Oak Westlake guy, which they're the best guy. And you're going, I'm not going to date that. And if you live on the West Side, you won't date Sherman Oaks, you won't date Encino. So it's like, you're going, I only want someone in my neighborhood on the West Side. And you have like this.
That's insane.
You get stuck in mud. Jeff Lewis, a good friend of mine, was at dinner with Moon Knight, and he said, I don't care. Like, he's with Gage, but he goes, I wouldn't care where the guy lived. I'll take him anywhere. Patty, why are you being such a snob? You should go to Long Beach.
You're being a snob too.
Kind of. I was a little snobby.
Wow.
Like, I'm like, if you don't have taste, you know, like Long Beach, really? Like I get a little snobby. I like Laguna, but I'm like, he's never going to schlep here on the Friday. So like, I kind of, there's
but
a.
Why do you want to schlep here if he lives in Laguna?
Because, like, well, the truth is David, who you met, my ex, was from Yorba Linda in Orange County. And he wanted me so bad, he came up every weekend. So I kind of should be open to Huntington.
Totally.
I was a snob.
No, we got to open up.
Because I want a West Sider. I want a Malibu, you know, to Manhattan Beach. And Manhattan Beach is my favorite hood. Now that's where the men are.
Manhattan Beach.
Divorced, good looking, ex-volleyball player, has his own business. I met one the other night, so hot. I was like, you could be a movie star, and they live in Manhattan Beach.
Interesting.
All Manhattan Beach, but it's like white boys country. It's not like African-American or exotic. That's more West Hollywood. This is very all-American, white bread.
Is that your type?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Short Hills, New Jersey, which was very WASPy. There wasn't a lot of Jews or Italians, and there was no African Americans. And I was very into the Nazi look, unfortunately.
The Nazi
look. The blonde Aryan looking guy, which is terrible as a Jew. But what happened was all of those guys were like the surfer dude, the swimmer. I don't know. I had this like fixation because those were the guys I was attracted to in high school. And then as I grew up, I tried the New Yorker. The maximum height is like 5'10". Big Jewish town, and I went there for 10 years and I couldn't stand it. It was Miami that had the hodgepodge. They had a little bit of everything. The Fort Lauderdale yacht guy, the Palm Beach, you know, real estate investor, all the way to the Miami Latino. And sometimes they cheated a lot more than the rest. They always like had a girlfriend and they were cheating Latinos. So we had to be careful of them. We had to like spy to make sure they were really in it to win it.
Oh my God. Wait, I just thought of this. I feel like your fans should be the ones to set you up.
Oh my God, I wouldn't even know what to do.
I feel like your fans know you so well, right?
Okay.
That they've got a brother or an ex or something. So if any of your fans are listening and you've got somebody for Patty, we're going to take a break. I want you to call in 888-947-8277. Now, There may be no one calling because maybe they have to rack their brains, but they will call me at
we
some point.
We can give an email address. Yeah. I want pictures.
You can email me at conversationswithmaria@gmail.com if you think you've got somebody for Patty. Now remember, she likes
here.
The Nazi look.
I'm gonna get in so much trouble from the Jewish Federation. They're gonna come after me. Let's just say all American
volleyball boy.
Let's say the Scandinavian look. Let's go Scandinavian.
Okay, we're going Scandinavian look.
Jewish Fed, please, JFed, don't call me.
What's like the minimum he's like career wise? Like what he's got to be successful.
I don't mean Mr. Private Plane. I just want to know, like, you know, you're making, you know,
something
like $200,000-$400,000 a year, and we can go out to dinner and go on a vacation now. I mean, like, okay. I'm not looking for Mr. Private Plane.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And it would be nice.
10 years younger. Yeah. 10 years older.
10 years younger. I kind of would love. Hackers make me wet.
So hackers make me wet. That's the headline, guys.
Yeah, hackers make me wet. So if there's a hacker up there in Silicon that like wants to make the next great app or project or website, I'm there. I'm down for it.
Oh my God.
Hackers make me wet.
Yeah. That famous last words. We'll be right back with more from Patty Stanger.
Newsletter.
For amazing tips and tricks on how to better yourself and your life, plus free giveaways and life-changing information, join our newsletter. Email us at conversationswithmaria@gmail.com.
It's Love Week on Conversations with Maria Menounos. From psychics and astrologers to dating horror stories to matchmakers, we have you covered. Now tune in, open your heart, and get ready to love.
Get ready to love. We're back with Patty Stanger. Patty, I was all over your Instagram this morning. First of all, your High Rise Life magazine cover is incredibly beautiful.
Thank you.
I love the whole thing, the styling, everything. And then I saw that you have a perfume that helps people.
And I'm not getting paid for this. This is my friend. So I got a perfume in the mail that's a pheromone, and I'm very critical on pheromones because not a lot of them work. They're very expensive, by the way. And so I got in the mail. I met with the family, and Jackie, who owns the company with Roberto, her father, said to me, "Listen, just tell me what you think about it." So there's gay to gay, there's female to male, and there's male to female. So there's everything. I don't know if there's lesbians. I got to find out about that. So I started using the perfume. One of them was called After Dark, and I fell in love with it, and men started flocking. And it gave me confidence. So I started being a different person. Not that I wasn't authentic myself, but I wasn't holding back anymore.
Yeah.
I was
perfume like, makes a difference, like for you and the others.
Right. And so the pheromone tweaks a biology and chemistry that amps it up in our body. We have a lot of it when we're younger, and as we age, it kind of diffuses. Because remember, when we're in childbearing years, we're more desirable. Mm-hmm. So it's giving that childbearing years, you know, fragrance, pheromone, a boost, like when you're 50s, 60s, and you're not getting play with men. And so the fragrance works. So I got you a bottle. It's After Dark.
You don't really need it.
But now if you're married, be careful because he's going to want to jump your bones.
Okay, cool.
So just
I'm
now you're
going
to have a lot more sex this week. It's Valentine's Day tomorrow. So basically what I really think is really cool about this is that it's a great present. It's cost affordable. And there's tons of all different fragrances. Some people love citrus. Some people love patchouli. It depends what they're
into. So it's a great gift idea. So if you want to find out more, you can go to Patty's Instagram at Patty Stanger. And then I also saw, you know, I know that you posted about Jill and Bethany, which was really sweet. And seeing them come together. So I have a couple questions.
Sure. Okay.
Is Jill going to come back to the show?
That's a Bravo question. I personally think she should. Bethany, me, and Jill were really good friends.
Yeah.
And when Bobby died, Bethany had a very special relationship with Bobby, like a sweet relationship. And I really wanted her to come to the funeral. And I didn't know if she'd get the message. I sent it to Andy, and I didn't know. It was so fast. You know, he died on a Saturday. And in Jewish tradition, we must be
right
back
away.
48 hours. So it was Monday. And I was like, this is never going to happen. I don't know if they're shooting. So I was supposed to call Dorinda. I called Sonia. Sonia rounded the girls up, and she got Bethany there. And when Bethany came, it was a crying moment. Super, super sweet. They had their special moment together. I feel like, and they've been texting.
Good.
It's a slow process. You know, Bethany's very busy. She's got a lot of cool things going on. She's got a jean line that's launching, which looks amazing. So I just hope they, you know, I mean, it was 8 years of like living in hell, and Jill loved her like a sister. And I just think that, I don't think the show did it. I think that we were very competitive when we started at Bravo. I was lucky I was on my own show, but I was friends with like all the housewives and Jeff and everything. And we were all really competitive. Who's going to stay on the air? What do we got to do to stay on the air? And now that we've all grown up and we, you know, Bravo's like a machine. I mean, those housewives will be there till Golden Girl days, you know.
Oh my God,
I mean, Andy created, like Andy and Frances Berwick, our president, made it such an amazing thing. And then Shari, our other vice president, made like Below the Deck and Lewis's show and my show. They made such an iconic pop culture moment with such great people that it's great when we get along. You know, like when I see NeNe and Kim fight, I get upset. I was at both their weddings. I'm like, oh, just bury it. But we have screaming moments.
But and that's what I liked on your post. You were like, if you have friends that you've like lost connection with,
I missed,
life is short.
I missed Bethany. I always felt like we got off on the wrong foot. I took Jill's side in the fight, which because I felt she was wronged. And the truth of the matter is I didn't know what Bethany's side was. I didn't hear her side of the point of story. So I thought it was really great that they came together. And I'm praying that they end up friends. And I feel like it's like a new relationship.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. Before we let you go, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Yeah. How much stock do you put in that day as Millionaire
I'm not putting it in tomorrow. I don't have a boyfriend. I'm not dating anyone.
But so, how do you advise
people? So what I say to people is, let it go. It happens. You know, it's like Christmas and New Year's. It happens every year. If this is a year you don't have anyone and your best friend's getting married and a lot of, you know, stuff is going around where you feel left out, bring your girlfriends over, make a sleepover, watch your favorite movies, eat your favorite foods, and make it a junk food night. If you're a guy, get out of the house, because that is the night single girls go out thinking maybe I'll meet someone. And let me tell you something. Men who go out on Valentine's Day do not have a girlfriend. Yeah. It's the best night to get laid.
Galentine's Day.
But don't, like I'm doing a webinar right now, and you can sign up at pattyknows.com, where I'm taking 20 VIP people every month, and I'm answering your questions, and I'm doing about 3 or 4 of them. If you want a very special niche thing. And I tell my webbies, as I like to call them, I say, if you make too much of something, you will get disappointed.
Yeah.
So Valentine's Day could fall on any day of the year. If you're a romantic guy and a romantic girl, you can make your own Valentine's Day. This image of Hallmark, no one really – do you know the true story of Valentine's Day?
No.
So Valentine was a priest, and he was during a period of time where they were not – no one was allowed to get married because the king at the time, you can Google this, felt that if he married people off, the soldiers wouldn't do their best in the war because they'd be so afraid to get killed.
Yeah.
They'd run away because they were married and had kids. So there was no marriage. And people wanted to be married. So they went undercover into this like cavern, and he married them, and he got caught. And during the process, he was also a healer. He met a woman who was blind. He healed her of her blindness, fell in love with her. Priests couldn't marry at the time. And they found out, and they were going to hang him, just like it's beheading and hanging. And he wrote a letter to his lover saying, I love you, love Valentine.
No
way. And that's Valentine's Day. Yeah, and nobody really knows the story. It's like Santa Claus, like St. Nick. So the truth is, here's what I say to do. Write a love letter to somebody that you love. And if you don't have somebody you love and you're hung up on your ex, don't send the letter, but write a forgiveness letter, because forgiveness will set you free to love.
I love that. I've written forgiveness letters to bosses.
What are you talking about? I can't tell you how many. I had a little betrayal this week, and I had to write my angst out.
You have to.
That note section in the iPhone is amazing.
Oh, it's my favorite.
It's my favorite section.
I love it.
Yeah.
Millionaire matchmaker Patty Stenger. Guys, you can sign up for her VIP webinar series at pattyknows.com. Check out Eye of Love. That's the pheromone that we were talking about. Eyeoflove.com. Of course, you can find Patty on at Patty Stenger, wherever social media exists. And her website, millionairesclub123.com/. And remember, email me at conversationswithmaria@gmail if you think you've got a match for Patty. Give me as many details as possible, including a real picture. And now, celebrity divorce lawyer Laura Wasser teaches us how you can lovingly, easily, and inexpensively, probably the most important, no, I'm just kidding, divorce through her new online service, itsovereasy.com. Pretty genius. You want to check this out.
It's Love Week on Conversations with Maria Menounos. From psychics and astrologers to dating horror stories to matchmakers, we have you covered. Now tune in, open your heart, and get ready to love.
All right. It's the finale of Love Week, guys. And my next guest is one of the most recognizable divorce attorneys in history, handling divorce proceedings from everyone from Angelina Jolie to Tom Cruise, Kim Kardashian. Now she's here to share how you can lovingly divorce through her new service, itsovereasy.com. Please welcome Laura Wasser, everybody. Woo! Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Happy Love Week.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, rough day to finish Love Week,
yes.
But we're going to charge through. And it's funny, I don't know if you got to meet Laura, John, mm-hmm. but Laura's name is Laura Allison Wasser, so her initials are Law. I know your dad was a lawyer or is yes, a lawyer. He's yes, your partner.
Yes.
Was this intentional?
Yes.
It was?
They found out that my dad passed the bar, and then as a kind of celebration, they consummated and 9 months later, there I was. Wow.
So, but when they gave you their name, were they like, hey, let's make her initials Law?
Yeah, because of that. And that's then amazing. And then the whole like, maybe you'll be a lawyer came a lot later, and I was always... No way, no way.
Really?
I do not want to be a lawyer, and I'm so embarrassed that you named me with these geeky initials. And
then
I turned 40, I kind of embraced the initials. Yeah.
That's so funny. So what made the switch for you to want to be a lawyer?
Well, the switch to want to be a lawyer was my parents basically told me that they would support me as long as I was in school, and I wasn't getting into medical school, so I opted for law school. And okay. I kind of always, there is a gene, both of my parents are lawyers, and so there's this debate arguing rhetorical gene. I was a rhetoric major in college, and I really do like the critical thinking and problem solving. Mm-hmm. So I finally just went with it.
I wish we had rhetoric class in Medford High. We didn't have that because I would have been debating all the time. My debates are sports debates. I have the best sports debates ever. But you work with your dad and you guys are a team. So you went from not wanting to be a lawyer like them to now working with him. And
yes.
What is that like?
We don't.
Oh, someone just infiltrated
Nick,
us.
Nick, is someone infiltrating us?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It looks like it. Hold on.
Nick.
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully they'll go away. Laura, we can continue.
Okay.
I'm so sorry
it's
about
okay.
that.
It's okay.
Demon that came through.
We don't have too many cases together. There's 17 members in our firm, so we don't work that closely on cases, but it's kind of cool to be able to see him every day at the office. I mean, yeah. That's nice.
So now you started itsovereasy.com
yes.
to make it easy for couples to divorce. And I think it's pretty genius. I mean, I was going through the website and, you know, you can do it for as cheap as $750.
Yes.
All the
yes.
way up to $2,500. Now, what is a normal divorce cost for the average civilian? Not Kim Kardashian.
Right.
Right. Right?
Not in our office, but we did market research when we started the company, and the average divorce cost in the U.S. today is $20,000.
Wow. That's more than most people have in the bank.
And again, I've been doing this for over 20 years. Yes, I work with a lot of high wealth individuals, but obviously just being a human in the world, I know plenty of people that mm-hmm. don't have that much money, and I get calls all the time. And it is so frustrating to me that there's nowhere for those people to go. Mm-hmm. So many people these days like being able to do things themselves. So many people do things online, whether it's banking or dating or shopping. Why shouldn't they be able to have access to that same kind of a resource online? And so we put it together. It doesn't mean necessarily that divorce is going to be easy. Divorce mm-hmm. is not easy, but it should be easier to complete the legal process.
Got it. So I got advice from someone a long time ago. I thought it was the best advice ever. They're like, negotiate your exit when you're happy.
Yes.
So whether it's a divorce or but really it's like best for like business partnerships. So if we were to go into business, like we're all gung-ho and so excited. Oh my God, we're going to totally win. It's going to be amazing. Negotiate your exit for while you're happy, because you'll be the most kind and generous in those moments.
And reasonable.
Yeah.
One of the reasons people spend so much of their money in divorce, and I say to clients all the time, the more you guys argue, the more money I make. So
yeah.
let's try to prevent that from happening. Keep as much money for you and your kids and your family as possible. But it's such an emotional time.
Yeah.
And so you're angry, and you know, maybe a letter that costs about $300 for your lawyer to write, which is, you know, half an hour about that vase really makes sense at the time. But it
yeah.
doesn't really really make sense. And so if you can, yes, that's why prenups are a good idea. Mm. Even if you're not going to execute a prenup, having those conversations, knowing what your expectations are going into it is very, very helpful for relationships and making them last.
I wonder, do you find that divorces take longer because it's not just the emotions too? It's like there's so many miscommunications and misinterpretations and paranoia that probably sets in, right? Yes.
I say to people so often that communication is going to be the key to any relationship, whether it's a relationship with somebody that you're married to, or sometimes I say maybe you guys weren't good communicators in your marriage, but maybe going into the divorce, you need to be better communicators, particularly if you have kids and you're going to have to be communicating for many, many more years.
Yeah.
Figure it out. It will save you so much time and aggravation and money.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I've noticed with divorces that's really hard is, you know, lawyers, like, you can't show any weakness, right? Ooh, my microphone just went really loud in my earball. My earball?
Your earball?
I don't know what the hell that was.
But... eardrum. Oh,
there we go.
Eyeball.
So what happens is, you know, to win in the situation, a lawyer will go super by the book and hard at someone, and then the opposite side is so offended, but they don't realize that it's the game, right? It's like, I'm going to come in and I'm going to tell you I'm only giving you $20, and you're like, what? I deserve $100, but you're giving $20 so you can land at $50.
Right.
Right? But nobody knows the game, and so they don't understand, so everyone gets so emotional about it, rather than realizing that this is us just, you know, doing things for negotiation purposes. It's not what we really feel about you.
Right.
Right.
And sometimes when you take the lawyers out of that mix, then you don't have those negotiation tactics. You don't have that game plan.
Yeah.
You're with the spouse that you know better than anyone else in the world, probably. And you go, listen, my bottom line really is this. I don't need to pay some mouthpiece to tell you it's this so that we can get to this. This is what it really is. Let's save ourselves some money and get to that point.
So with itsovereasy.com, you go on there and you can file your paperwork. Tell me like the steps of things, because I saw that there were like co-parenting calendars in there. I was like, that's genius.
No, it's really like, because of all these years I've been doing it, because of the frustrations I've had and the things that I've learned, I wanted to bake that all into this. So the first thing that we have is an amazing amount of content. So even if you're not getting divorced, or it's a friend that's getting divorced, or you're thinking about it, or you just want to learn about relationships, come check us out. It's totally free. We have all kinds of articles and blogs written by either people that have gone through it personally or professionals giving you advice on how to co-parent, stuff like that. Then the actual platform itself has in it all kinds of artificial intelligence, because these forms are tough to fill out. And that's why more people don't just do it themselves.
I hate filling out forms at the doctors, like everywhere. I'm like, so what does this mean? I don't even understand.
Right. So one thing we do is we say, we will never ask you the same question twice. Once you put in your name, you don't have to type Menounos again. It's in there every single
God.
Time. So is your birthday, your kids' names, all that stuff. We populate it for you. And when you get to a question that is complicated, like date of separation, we did market research and found out people buy like a new espresso maker and they get the big instruction booklet that has instructions in every language.
I've never read
any
of them.
You don't read it. You go on YouTube, right? You figure out, how do I work my espresso? Or you just experiment.
I just experiment until I figure it out.
We have a pop-up. You pop, you click on that question and there I am. Hey, you guys, this is what date of separation is in your state. They don't have to read anything. They've got my little head telling them what it is.
Genius.
And they go through it and then, so that's the first thing. Then the next part is filling out what you have, what you owe, what you make, and what you spend. Each of you fill that out. We kind of cross-reference, and everything that matches up is a green check. Everything that doesn't is a red X. Mm-hmm. So you guys got to talk about those things. And then the next part is making the actual deal, and that's the custody calendars, which sync with your Google Calendar and has everything
way.
On it from Ramadan to Mother's Day. Whatever is important to you, you put it in there.
I think the best compliment there is your producer was saying, I'm not even married, and the website's so good, it makes me want to get a divorce.
Wait, no, I feel the same way. Like, this is so exciting. And it's like, we're talking about divorce. And yet I'm like, this is awesome.
Well, then the other thing that you need to know is we've got on the other end of it, this amazing provider directory, which has everything on there from somebody that can help you with your budgeting and finances after to getting a new health insurance plan to getting the greatest spray tan so you can get back out there and
date.
And all of these things are on the website. And I have had lots of people say to me, because we're doing an event next weekend at the Bumble pop-up, the Hive on Melrose Place.
Wait, is that the margarita thing?
No, what Patty was talking about.
Mine's not the margarita one, but that would be good to melt them.
You should throw some margaritas in.
Yes, exactly.
You need a good drink after a divorce. Go ahead.
This has a panel of women, some of them that are on our directory. We have a beauty expert. We have a co-parenting expert. We have a person that will help you design your new place because you've moved out and now you can do it on your own.
Who are you?
All these
great people. I've been living here and doing this for a long time, and I know what you need when you're going through this.
Whoa.
I think the margarita, I got to add it, though. I got to add margarita.
Seriously. Wow. It's so smart. I'm like totally taken aback right now. Like, you went like so much further than I even expected with this. Now, how do you fill that part of the form out when you were the wife that took care of the kids and were like the corporate wife? By the way, it could be the man or the woman.
Right. Well, again, that's what spousal and child support are for in every state, okay? So if there's one person that's the breadwinner and one person that's the person that's running the house, the breadwinner is going to be paying a maintenance, alimony, spousal, and child support to that other person.
Mm-hmm. Can we discuss I know we're running out of time, but with like celebrity divorces, you hear these astronomical numbers that people need to like live, you know, after divorce. And you're like, wait, do you really need $100,000 a month to like live? Like really you need your like $50,000 manicure budget a month? Like what? How does that make sense?
It may not make sense, but the law is that you're supposed to be able to live in a lifestyle that's commensurate with your lifestyle during the marriage. So
no
I
way.
Will often say to the breadwinner, payor, whether it's a man or a woman, who's going, I can't believe she needs this much money every month. And I said, well, you created this monster. You were making it. You guys were spending it. That was your marital lifestyle. That's what it is. And it's all relative. And many people have sat across from me in my office and said, I can't possibly live on $100,000 a month.
No.
And I've gone, okay, well, and that's the law. The law is they get to be supported to the lifestyle they were accustomed to.
Is it still the 7-year law, common law marriage here in California? Is that over with?
Huge misunderstanding. There is no such thing as common law marriage in California.
Oh, wow.
Live together, shack up. No common law marriage.
Oh, well, hey, you heard it here first. Laura Wasser, you're a genius. I'm obsessed with itsovereasy.com. I think a lot of people are going to really check this out today and enjoy it. You guys can get more information at wcmfamilylaw.com or go to itsovereasy.com. That's like the site for that.
Yes, please.
But if you want more info on Laura, you can go to the other site. We'll put this all on our website, mariamenounos.com, under the Sirius icon. If you want more information on John Amaral, you can go to his website, johnamaral.com. Hey, some of your clients might need some energy work.
Yeah.
He's the best you'll ever meet in your whole life. And on Instagram, you can find him at Dr. John Amaral. That does it for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening to our free Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Help us, please, by rating and commenting on iTunes, and be sure to tell a friend. Check us out on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109 weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can also hear us on demand on the SiriusXM app. Join our Conversations crew if you guys want to join our newsletter with life-changing tips and tricks, lots of great giveaways, and so much more. Please email us at conversationswithmaria@gmail.com, or you can click the link in my Instagram bio. And follow us at Maria Menounos, at SiriusXM Stars, at Lauren LaGrasso. And remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.